The term trickle-down economics is often used by detractors to describe the practice of providing tax cuts and other forms of financial support to those at the top of the corporate business world. The hope is that the ensuing profits will result in higher wages for all workers and a healthier economy overall. Critics of such policies point out that greater profits for corporate leaders have generally not meant more wealth for those at the bottom of the ladder, nor even those at the middle. Jeffrey Walsh, an economics professor at Ottawa's Algonquin College, reports that the USA, after decades of subsidies and tax breaks for its largest corporations, now has the widest gap in the country's history between its top earners and those who receive a median household income, so average wages are hardly on the rise. He points out that despite its more liberal policies, Canada has seen a similar wage gap increase over the years. By 2008, the richest 10% of Canadians made 10 times that of the poorest 10%. That's a 25% increase from the early 1990s. According to Albert Steingetz, a columnist for the Vancouver Sun, there is a far better and more direct way of helping those in need. He suggests that all those tax breaks and subsidies go not to the rich, but directly to the poor. The result, he argues, would be more disposable income, which would be an enormous boost to the retail sector of the economy. Steingetz goes on to argue that the poor would certainly benefit from profits invested in their local workforce, but that, according to trickle-down economics, there is no guarantee that corporations will direct profits towards job creation in their own countries. They are just as likely to seek out a cheaper workforce overseas. Those in favor of these policies, however, are more likely to use the term supply-side economics, and there are a substantial number of respected economists who are quite vocal in their support of this. Canadian author Colin Sutherland, known for his books about corporate finance, outlines several reasons why it is advisable to give tax breaks to the very rich. He argues that for the wealthy to increase their profits, they have to invest in companies, which includes paying workers' wages. Without such an investment in manpower, their wealth would simply not grow. Even if a portion of corporate profits is invested outside the country, the benefits will still be felt domestically. He cites the example of Apple, which invests heavily in low-cost Chinese labor to build its products, but remains a significant employer of North Americans as well. According to Sutherland, more taxes and regulation would only hold Apple back from doing what it does best, developing products everyone wants, which in turn stimulates spending and promotes job growth.